This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. He's Jeff Erickson. We're here with you from rotowire.com. Going to be hanging out for the next hour. Got a great show coming your way. We'll talk a little Vita Vea, a trade request coming out of Tampa Bay, what that means for the Bucks, what that means for what's ultimately a messy and muddled NFC South division. We'll hit some baseball headlines from last night as well. We'll give you plenty of baseball plays throughout the show. We'll have Keith Irizarry stopping by the Progressive guest line with his Tuesday MLB card. We'll get Jeff's best bets later in the show. We'll talk some fantasy football, specifically the quarterback position, with our guy Theo Greminger from rotowire.com. Double guest Tuesday here on Prop Points. Before we dig in on the Vita Vea news, make sure if you are not listening to Prop Points in podcast form, you should be. You can find us on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search VSiN, search Prop Points. You'll find us. You'll find all VSiN programming in podcast form. All right, Jeff, fairly slow news day as we get training camps underway in the NFL. We've had, you know, some minor news leaking out. Patrick Mahomes looks to be very close to being a full participant for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But did get word earlier this morning, two-time Pro Bowler defensive tackle Vita Vea has officially requested a trade from the Buccaneers. They've been at odds over a potential extension. The Buccaneers also are somewhat at odds, maybe not to the point of requesting a trade with Baker Mayfield, who will be playing on the final year of his deal in 2026. But I'll ask you first and foremost, Jeff, is this a real trade request? Are the Buccaneers going to entertain this? Is this merely a negotiating tactic from Vita Vea?
You know, I dismissed the possibility of a real trade request coming from Micah Parsons last year, and look how that ended. So you never want to totally dismiss it out of hand that a team is going to act that way or how they're going to react to a situation like this. It is that time of season where we don't, you know, local markets are hyper aware of which players need to be signed on their teams. But from a national perspective, we don't always hone in on this during the offseason. Then we get to training camp like, oh, yeah, Vita Vea is unhappy. He won't ask for a trade request. Christian Gonzalez is under contract, but he's negotiating right now. Oh, yeah, that's happening. And every year there's one of those players that sneaks up on us and really blows up. And right now it's Vea is the one that's blowing up. I think it's a critical year for the Bucs here, too, for Todd Bowles, for Baker Mayfield. You know, they missed the playoffs last year. They had that horrible game against the Panthers in the week 18 where they missed out. Despite, you know, ending a finishing off the collapse of a season where they were one of the trendy teams. Baker Mayfield was an MVP candidate, and they just fizzled so badly down the stretch. We may have kind of run the course on this iteration of the team, though. If Mayfield's gone, if Bowles is gone, they have a lot of new young players already stepping in. There's no more Mike Evans. There's a lot of changes on defense right now. Vea's like the old guard on this team. So yeah, it's one of those things where he may be unhappy with the direction of the team. Maybe it's a negotiation tactic. Hard to get inside the head there. Might be all. It might be one of those where like, hey, it is a negotiation tactic, but maybe I truly do want to be gone there too.
Did just get word, by the way, that Jalen Carter has agreed to a four-year extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, wow. So Buccaneers at odds with one of their defensive tackles. The Eagles lock in one of the best young defenders in the NFL. We'll keep you posted when the figures on that deal come out, but should be a mammoth contract for Jalen Carter. Look, I'm with you, Jeff, as far as the outlook for the Buccaneers. I didn't necessarily go into this offseason feeling like, all right, it's going to be one last ride, but yeah, you look around, you have problems with Vita Vea as far as locking him up long term. We'll see where they end up settling with Baker Mayfield. Mike Evans, of course, has moved on. Chris Godwin has spent most of the last 2 years injured, and I'm pretty high on him this year as far as the bounce back in fantasy goes, but he's also one of those guys where you're starting to look at the end of his prime years, and I think Tampa Bay does need to start thinking about the next phase of this team. Nonetheless, Jeff, they are sizable favorites in the NFC South. Buccaneers plus 154 to win the division. Then you got the Saints at plus 265, Carolina plus 310, the Atlanta Falcons all the way up at plus 425. As currently constructed, knowing what we know now and, you know, not knowing how this Vita Vea situation is going to turn out, how confident are you that the Buccaneers can look more like the team that we saw over the first 8 or 9 games last season, where they were looking like a dark horse Super Bowl team in the NFC? Baker Mayfield at one point was your second short shot midseason to win the MVP award.
Yeah, I'm not that super confident. We'll see. It's funny, though. Emeka Ogbuka might be one of the biggest helium guys in drafts right now. So you can, you know, conflate that with the team expectations. We're in an odd spot right now. And I think the odds reflect that. I mean, the NFC South, the Bucs are the betting favorite to win the division, but it's only plus 164. And it ranged from 164 to 425 for all four teams in the division. And the Bucks win odds are at 8.5. Their over under on their win total is 8.5. The betting market is treating this as more of the same from the NFC South. And I can see why. You look at schedules, they play the AFC North this year, which, you know, you get, you know, there's a lot of range of outcomes from that division as well. The Ravens and the Steelers and the Browns all have new head coaches. The Bengals are coming off a disappointing year, but are expected to be good. It could be a really tough division for those four teams to face, or maybe kind of a down year. We'll see about that. But I think 10 wins probably wins the division, and 9 might still do it too.
My fear from the Buccaneers is, you know, maybe they win the NFC South, but it's kind of a, okay, what does this actually mean? You know, then you go up against some of the real teams in the NFC in the playoffs and are reminded of where you actually stand. You know, I think there is still a pretty reasonable floor. You could talk me into a decent ceiling for this Bucs team, but to me, they're nowhere near Seattle. They're nowhere near the LA Rams. Some of those teams in the NFC North, you know, Philly out of the East, I think are significantly better, at least on paper, as we approach week one. You did mention Emeka Ogbuka. I do want to hit that quickly on the other side. But first, we do have a message from our friends over at RotoWire. You want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff gives you rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Check out rotowire.com right now and make sure when you do that, you use our promo code VSIN, VSIN. Put that in at checkout. It'll get you 15% off anything we offer. Now is the best time to sign up for all the tools, all the projections, all the rankings, everything we offer for fantasy football over at rotowire.com. And again, use that promo code VSIN. So Emeka Ogbuka. Jeff, I've been making videos. I've been talking about Ogbuka all off season. You're hard pressed to find a fantasy analyst who is not extremely intrigued with the idea of Emeka Ogbuka looking more like the guy that he was earlier last season. But as you mentioned, the ADP has gotten to a point where I'm starting to wonder if I have to back off. Looking at the NFFC over the last couple of weeks, he is up to 27th overall. So we're talking about the same ADP as Chris Olave. He is now going ahead on average of guys like Devontae Smith and Zay Flowers.
I'm okay with those two necessarily, especially Flowers, because I think Flowers is a guy that is in also prove it mode. He had the yards, but never has had the touchdowns on a regular basis. But you know, you look at target share and things of that nature. Flowers is also a helium guy right now. It's kind of funny. And Smith, all three of those guys are all kind of guys that have risen in the last month and a half. I was in one draft a month ago, Nick, though, where Ogbuka went at 2.1. I mean, that's an extreme version of it there, but the guy on the wheel thought that there was no chance he was coming back to him. And keep in mind, it's third round reversal in the NFFC too. So keep that in mind. So that he would have picks 12, 13, and then 25. He didn't think he would get to pick 25 on him. So he took him at 13. He liked Ogbuka that much. That's an extreme example, but the fact is it exists. It's out there. We're getting closer to the point now where I think the player pool, when I'm talking the manager pool is going to change. We're not going to just have sharps and regs out there. We're going to start having more people jump into drafts. And I think that will shift the ADP back a little bit. But then again, that class is going to look at the ADP and say, oh, I should look into Ogbuka more. Whereas I think they may not have been 2 months ago. So it's an interesting thing. Like how much momentum, how much is that cemented in? I think there'll be a little bit of regression in that price, but not a whole lot.
So elsewhere around NFL training camps, Jeff, by the end of today, we will have all 32 teams officially reported and underway. Daniel Jones, has been fully cleared or has at least declared himself fully healthy for the start of training camp. And this one was up in the air. You know, we didn't get quite as much news on Daniel Jones over the last few months, you know, compared to someone like Patrick Mahomes. But I get the sense, Jeff, that most people, at least in the fantasy world, are very skeptical that Daniel Jones and the Colts can look anything like the team that they were before he got hurt last year. I think I would push back on that a little bit. You know, I'm still all in on Jonathan Taylor. I'm totally fine taking Alec Pierce later in draft. Same with Josh Downs. Tyler Warren, I think, makes sense at his ADP. I don't know if he should be as far behind Colston Loveland as he is, but all of this hinges on Daniel Jones playing at the level that he did for the first 12 or 13 games, whatever it was last year before the injury. I know this is an impossible question. I'm asking you to get into the mind of Daniel Jones and figure out how that Achilles feels, but are you willing to make that assumption? Are you willing to reinvest in some of these Colts skill pieces?
I have some Warren already. I don't have a whole lot of Pierce or Downs yet, but it's early. Still plenty of drafts still left to go. I'm glad you brought up Mahomes as a comparison point. Both are fully cleared. What does that truly mean? I think at quarterback, you can fudge it a little bit there. Whereas, you know, they're going through drills, but you're not really like running. You know, you're not doing that sprinting. You're not doing that burst, especially while at the threat of being hit. Because for Jones, it really matters. How mobile is he truly going to be? Because I think that affects Taylor, and I think it affects Jones personally, too. If the running component's not there, if he's a pocket passer, this is a much worse offense there. So I need to see a little bit more. I know it's hard to wait for proof, but I think this is one instance where you need to as best as possible.
I don't mind grabbing Daniel Jones later in drafts if you are, you know, if you're waiting on that second quarterback. I think the other quarterbacks in that range, you know, we're talking CJ Stroud, Cam Ward. You know, I'd certainly rather take him than a shot on Aaron Rodgers or Geno Smith. But you're right, the mobility, a key component for Daniel Jones and the Colts, you know, looking anything like the team they were early on last season. We're going to switch things over to baseball when we come back. Keith Irizarry from MLB Network going to hand out some picks and plays for the Tuesday card. This is Prop Points. You're watching VSiN. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line is Keith Irizarry. You can catch him on MLB Network, NHL Network, here on VSiN, and of course, on Twitter, at Keith Irizarry. Keith, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's talk a little Orioles-Tigers. Tigers are on Scooble watch. Bad loss again yesterday. They've now lost three in a row. What do you like in this game tonight?
So pretty much what I'm going to give you is a bunch of hitter props throughout this. And great to be back with you guys. Been a while and I've missed you. Let's go Riley Green. We're going to go over 1.5 total bases. Depending on what book you're looking at, it's somewhere between -115 and -125. I locked it in at -120. Two or more bases, three of his last six games and five of his last eight games. And then I look at who he'll probably face at least twice in Dean Kramer. He's fine, but he's given up four or more earned runs in two of his last three starts. And Kramer also, by the way, 10 home runs allowed in his last six starts. I'm not going to go home run for Riley Green, but I think the price was good at the around the -120 for him to get the total bases.
Keith, let's move on to a battle in the NL East. We got the Phillies on the road in Miami. Marlins finally snapped their losing streak last night. It was another high-scoring game. Tonight we get Aaron Nola on the hill against Sandy Alcantara. And like you said, you got a hitter prop here on the Philadelphia side.
Bryce Harper here. We're going to go with the Herbie here. The over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. -130 is where I ended up locking it in. I've seen it go up to about -135, -140. So hopefully you guys can get -130. Against Sandy Alcantara, he has faced him 46 times, has 15 hits, three home runs, four more extra base hits. And I'll throw in the fact that Bryce Harper has nine walks. Typically, that doesn't help us much when it's player props, except for on the Herbie one, where if he gets on base and scores a run, that's one thing that we need to happen. with his hits, runs, RBIs. He's got a hit in six of his last 10 games. We like the way he's going. As for Sandy, he's given up five home runs over his last three starts, so he can be a little touched up. Also, Harper has 40 career homers against the Marlins just in general. That is a robust number. Again, not giving you a home run here. It wasn't really enough bang for my buck there, but I like the Herbie at minus 130.
If you're running the Marlins, are you a seller at the trade deadline? I know they're only two games out of the wild card, but they just are coming off of a 12-game losing streak. Obviously, a lot of young players on this team. Sandy Alcantara pitching tonight could draw a lot of value. What would you do?
It's funny because I remember on MLB Network last year saying that if I were running the Marlins, I would have traded Sandy, and it probably wouldn't have netted the same value that you get this year because he's been better this year. I'm going to double down. I would deal him. Even though you're within striking distance, you're not winning the World Series. And if you could start recouping some value for someone like Sandy Alcantara, you never know if he turns back to the guy that was a year and a half ago when he was struggling, and even at times last year. So I would trade him.
Folks, the NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on VSiN's football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. Get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. Then on August 3rd, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from your favorite VSiN experts. You'll also get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. And you get full VSiN Pro access, taking you all the way through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Take advantage of this offer before the price goes up on August 1st. That's just 4 days away. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Our pal Keith Irizarry from MLB Network joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, helping us out with some plays for the Tuesday baseball card. Let's stick in the NL East, Keith, and look at the Braves and the Mets. Chris Sale, Christian Scott is our pitching matchup. You have your eye on Francisco Lindor, who's coming off of a huge night last night.
Yeah, I do. And maybe this is because I also work over at SNY and I'm covering the Mets once a week, sometimes twice a week. So kind of seeing this team from an inside and an outside. Listen, when Lindor is hitting, he's really good. Like, you look over the last 11 games, he has 14 hits. He has four home runs. Lindor has 13 RBIs, so he can do some damage there. We'll go back to the Herbie prop again, the hits, the runs, the RBIs. This one I got at some plus value here at plus 105. So two or more bases, three of his last eight games, and I wasn't getting plus value there, so I'm not doing that one. Coming off the big game, he has two or more hits, runs, RBIs in five of his last eight games, and historically has good numbers against Chris Sale. I know Sale's been great this year, but he bats almost 400 against him with a pair of home runs, couple extra base hits as well. So I'm going to ride the hot night from last night. Also, Lindor might just be, playing angry right now because his name continues to be bandied around in the trade market.
Let's talk a little bit about the Royals and Twins. Twins, a surprising team in terms of their offense this year. One of the guys for that has been Cody Clements. Had a fantastic year. Now going at what is suddenly a nice little launching pad in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium since they moved the fences. Do you like one of his props today?
Yeah, and I'll give you one plus a little extra. So we're going to go Cody Clemens over 1.5 total bases, minus 125. Very digestible, very nice price there. Let's put a little sprinkle in a home run as well at plus 340. So against Lugo in his career, he has three home runs in six at-bats. So that's kind of what led me towards the home run a little bit. And again, just a sprinkle. Don't break your bankroll on it. Two home runs over his last eight games as well for Clemens. Now, as for the hits, the runs, the RBIs, there wasn't enough bang for the buck there as well. So we're going to stick with the total bases. Lugo, while he's been really solid, the reason why I also went towards the home run, he's given up eight home runs in his last six starts. So there could be an opportunity there for Mr. Cody Clemens.
Keith, let's move on to Red Sox A's out in Sacramento. Late start tonight for Jake Bennett taking on Gage Jump. These are two teams moving in very different directions. Red Sox won last night. They stay hot. A's have completely fallen off the map over the last month or so. So how do you break down this game and what are we targeting in the prop market?
So I think you could look at a total runs prop as well for the Boston Red Sox. So if that's something that you're into, check it out. There's markets for that one. I'll go with a player again. So I went back and forth between a few guys. I like Wilson Contreras. Going to go total bases over 1.5 at minus 115. Again, I will throw a little something on a home run, a little pizza money there at plus 340. So over the total base prop, Contreras has done this 4 of his last 8 games. The weather should be somewhere in the mid-90s at first pitch. It's supposed to be humidity in the air. The wind is blowing out towards left center field. That lends itself to a little bit of help towards a right-hander batter like Wilson Contreras. Also at Sutter Health Park, it's second in park factor for home runs this season. And that includes obviously right-handed batters where it almost goes towards first. It's basically like 1A for park factor. So we'll go with Contreras here. I think there's a bunch of players there. If you were doing a DFS lineup, I think you could stack a bunch of, you know, batters from the Red Sox in there too. I think there's going to be runs to be had.
Yeah, if you saw Sedan Rafaela's wall scraping grand slam yesterday, you can attest to the Sutter Health home park effect there. That was definitely park aided for sure. Rockies, Padres, the opposite park effects here, but it is the Rockies, and I like to pick on the Rockies. So do you. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, let's go on the San Diego side of things. Again, there were a few guys that were catching my eye, but I landed on Xander Bogaerts. Again, we'll go hits, runs, RBIs, go over 1.5. So the Herbie play here, plus 105 is where I locked it in. I don't always go with pitcher versus batter matchups, but when you have something glaring like I saw here, I at least have to, you know, maybe attack it. In his career against Michael Lorenzen, Xander Bogaerts is 6-for-6 with a home run. He's also scored a run in 4 of his last 7 games. So that's 1/3 of the things that can happen for my Herbie play. And Herbie, as for Lorenzen, he's given up 6 or more hits in 4 of his last 6 starts. So kind of put it all together, dot your I's, cross your T's, and I felt really good about the X-Man Xander Bogaerts getting this prop for us. And again, plus 105 is a nice value.
Keith, we got about a minute left. I want to take a look at some of the futures right now in the National League, specifically the to make the playoffs market, where you have teams like San Diego, St. Louis, Washington, even Miami, if you want to throw them in there. All it's a pretty juicy plus money prices. These teams are within 2 games of that final wild card spot. Is there a team in that mix that you believe in the rest of the way?
Man, this is a tough one too, because we're, you know, a couple of days away from the trade deadline. I think the San Diego Padres, if you can get some plus value there, if Mason Miller doesn't get traded, if he stays there, they're always kind of like a trendy team. You know, they have the talent. It just hasn't been, you know, the right go of it for them. So I think the Padres would be someone I would at least look at.
Padres plus 230 right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook to make the playoffs in the National League. Currently 1.5 games back of that final wild card spot. Keith, appreciate the insight. Appreciate the plays as always. It has been too long. You're right, since we've had you on this show, but we'll certainly have you back down the stretch run in Major League Baseball. But best of luck tonight, man, and enjoy the rest of the week.
You guys are the best. Thanks a lot, man.
Keith Irizarry, everybody. Catch him on SNY, on MLB Network, on NHL Network, and on Twitter at Keith Irizarry. We're going to switch things over to the National Football League when we come back. Theo Greminger, RotoWire's lead fantasy football analyst, talking to quarterbacks when we return. This is Prop Points. You're watching VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here from RotoWire. Joining us now is RotoWire's lead NFL fantasy analyst and content director, great Theo Greminger, joins us again. You can follow him on Twitter at TheOGFantasy. And of course, read him at RotoWire. Watch all of our podcasts and YouTube videos with Theo at RotoWire as well. Theo, welcome to the show. What's going on? How are you doing? And how far deep into draft season are you? Like halfway, 2/3 of the way? How far are you volume wise?
Oh, I'm getting there volume wise. My best ball like exposure is getting kind of astronomical at this point. I think I have like 40 left in Best Ball Mania on Underdog. Trying to draft a lot of these redraft leagues. I did a lot of slow ones when we were earlier in the summer, but now it's like live draft, live draft, live draft. I'm in a, just did an FFPC main event on Friday night. I'm in a primetime for NFFC, or excuse me, not a primetime, an online championship for NFFC this week with Alan Soslowski. We're streaming that on RotoWire YouTube. And then I'm doing a Big Gorilla FFPC stream with Ian Harditz over on his channel. So that's three this week. And then I think I'm going to draft another one on Monday. So it just starts spiraling out of control. It's all fun until I have to do waivers for these leagues. But right now it's the good time, the drafting.
Well, we want to focus today with you, Theo, on the quarterback position. And obviously so many names we could talk about, so many different directions we could go in. But in general, we'll start with best ball, you know, because it sounds like you've drafted plenty of teams. You still have more drafts coming up. And we know strategy in best ball could differ a bit from these high stakes leagues or even just your basic redraft. But in what area of ADP have you found yourself shopping most often for that first quarterback?
It's a really interesting one. I haven't been drafting a ton of Josh Allen except for when he falls. And it's an interesting year pretty much in all formats, including best ball, where you have Josh Allen and then you have like a significant gap between him and that range of like QB2 on. I've tried to avoid drafting him because I feel like you're passing up on potential RB1s and wide receiver ones, some of the very elite tight ends. But I have mixed in a little bit of Josh Allen. I'm really gravitating towards those year three guys. In best ball specifically, like the Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams tier, that's been really appealing to me because sometimes they fall and you're able to correlate them pretty easily. So, when I draft AJ Brown, I'm looking to try to add a little bit of Drake May, sort of make that double bet. Jaden Daniels, you can kind of take on his own and build correlation later with guys like Chigakonkwo, Antonio Williams. And if you want to speculate, you can build out some Stephon Diggs, Jaden Daniels correlation because feels like that could be the landing spot for Diggs. And then obviously Caleb Williams, there's Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, et cetera. And then when I miss on those guys, I'll wait a little bit. I'm open-minded to the Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence tier. But I think what's even more interesting is that you wait about 15 picks or so and you get access to Brock Purdy, who I feel like is just a screaming value in all formats, where Purdy's being a little bit disrespected, I think, in every single format. He's QB12. Last year, he was essentially like a top five quarterback down the stretch, was excellent in the fantasy football playoffs. San Francisco's added Mike Evans this offseason. And whether or not you're in on Evans at his cost, he certainly helps Brock Purdy a lot in stylistically. I think Ricky Pearsall looks like he's trending towards being healthy. George Kittle looks like he's going to defy some injury pessimism. They draft Ajon Stribling, a big-time athlete, and then he's got Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. So I think Purdy putting it together and having a really, really strong season, that's definitely in the range of outcomes. I also like building out with Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is kind of in this great setup where he's like projected to finish with the fourth highest odds to throw the most touchdown passes this year in the NFL. Last year, he had 34 touchdown passes, year before 37, and you're able to draft him at quarterback 16. So he's been really appealing. There's just a lot of ways to go with quarterback in best ball this year. It sort of depends on, do you want to try to build out a two quarterback build or a three quarterback build? I mean, three quarterback builds, you can really start at the QB2 range and build out some really, really strong best ball teams. So I've been open-minded. Quarterback seems really, really deep this year, maybe deeper than in previous seasons, especially with the overall ADPs being pushed down with what we've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Dak is very affordable. I think, there's a lot of those guys 10 on that I just really like this year. And I always am inclined to wait on quarterback, but it just feels like it's an even better year this year. And the price for doing so is even later than more often than not too. As you alluded to, I think everything but Allen is relatively cheap this year.
Yeah. I mean, Allen's an interesting conversation too, because even in formats like FFPC for redraft, he's going in like the fourth round. Whereas in previous seasons, he got steamed up where you were having to basically use a second round pick on him. NFFC, pretty much the same thing. And I know you've drafted a few NFFC teams as well, where the price feels like it's affordable. So all quarterbacks got pushed down. I think it's really an effect on multiple quarterbacks failing after being steamed up last year with Lamar Jackson, certainly Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow missed time. And then you had the double-edged effect there last year where Drake May was such a great pick and you're able to get him by waiting until around like quarterback 15. So every year is different for ADPs for quarterback. This year it feels like there's going to be some really strong values in really interesting pockets of the draft.
Talk with Theo Greminger, RotoWire's lead fantasy football analyst. You can check him out on the RotoWire YouTube channel. You can find him on Twitter on X at the OG Fantasy. You know, I was looking at your rankings, which of course you can find over on RotoWire.com this morning, Theo. And you mentioned Jaden Daniels. You have him as your QB3 right now, ahead of Lamar Jackson, ahead of Joe Burrow. I think we probably both share some question marks as far as some of the pieces around Jaden Daniels in this offense, but what's the reason that you ended up ranking him ahead of some other big names?
I just have great optimism on the rushing upside for Daniels. It was 891 rushing yards in 2024, 6 rushing scores. I'm also pretty optimistic about David Blau, the offensive coordinator there. I know he had success under Kingsbury back in 2024, but Daniels just feels like an edge pick. You don't have to take him as highly as I have him ranked, and you could still get access to him. You see some FFPC leagues where I've been able to draft him in like the 8th round, but I feel like with Daniels, it's a post-hype sleeper year where last year we were so enthusiastic to get him. We were pushing him up in ADP. Now he's just sort of at a decent range here, but I think he's an elite talent. I think he's got elite rushing potential. We all saw the chemistry that he had with Terry McLaurin. And I like some of these other additions they've been able to make. I think Rashad White helps the offense in terms of moving the sticks, giving him a really solid receiver out of the backfield. I think Chigakonkwo is going to figure in very, very well with Daniels. I just have a lot of optimism for Daniels really delivering. It's mainly the rushing production for me, though. And I do have a little bit of question marks on Lamar Jackson being a little less run happy than maybe in previous seasons. I think, for us to see a Lamar Jackson returning to sort of the 2024 type rushing numbers, I think that's wishful thinking a little bit, especially with Declan Doyle coming in as OC, maybe getting a little more balance. So for me, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, those year two guys, I just find myself being really enthusiastic about them at cost.
Got about a minute and a half left. Kyler Murray is one of the more volatile quarterbacks, period, stepping into a situation in Minnesota that is critical for them to get it right after last year's disaster. How are you handicapping Murray? Is there really a race between he and JJ McCarthy, or is that more of you have to say it's a QB battle? What's your outlook on this Minnesota situation?
I don't view it as a battle at all. I think it's Kyler Murray's job. If he loses a bunch of games, I think that them getting McCarthy back in the lineup might make sense. But in terms of just like the run out, I think Kyler Murray will be the starting quarterback for week one. I'd be shocked if that didn't happen. He's really interesting. QB 17, and we've had a long track record until last year of quarterbacks thriving in Minnesota under Kevin O'Connell. Murray, I think this could be a big bounce back year for him. He's being paid at the very bottom of what we expect starting quarterbacks week one salary wise. It's really a bet on himself type deal with Minnesota here. And I think he can parlay this into a big 2027 deal, either with the Vikings or someone else. But you go back to the rushing production for Murray, 572 rushing yards in 2024. That's really the key for him. Can we get back to seeing Murray producing with his legs? In terms of the offensive ecosystem around him, it's about as good as we've seen in recent memory with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, very solid offensive line. TJ Hockenson still there at tight end. Even Jawan Jennings as the wide receiver 3. There, it's a really potentially a big bounce back year for Murray. I think he's going to beat this ADP pretty easily.
Awesome stuff from our guy, Theo Greminger. You can read him at RotoWire. You can find his custom rankings over at RotoWire.com. And make sure you're subscribed to the RotoWire YouTube channel. Theo putting out great content over there each and every day. And, of course, follow him on Twitter at the OG Fantasy. We're going to switch things back to baseball when we come back. Jeff Erickson's betting card for the Tuesday slate coming your way on the other side. This is Prop Points on VSiN.
Talking Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you until the top of the hour. We're going to get to Jeff's baseball plays in just a moment. First game of the day is in action. That is Guardians-Reds, as we have a doubleheader. Got rained out last night. Still on the top of the first, so no action to report. Chase Burns on the hill for the Cincinnati Reds. Before we get to those plays from Jeff Erickson, just a reminder, the Circus Survivor documentary is back and bigger than ever. $18.7 million on the line in a new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes. Episode 2 airs tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern. Watch every agonizing moment from opening weekend, plus the early winners, early losers, and storylines shaping the season. If you missed episode 1, it's on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live. Whether you play Circus Survivor or you just love the drama, you won't want to miss this series. Check out new episodes every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern here on VSiN. I did lie a little bit, Jeff. We have a couple NFL updates that I want to pass along quickly. We mentioned the Jalen Carter contract news at the top of the show. It is a four-year, $152 million extension, can be worth up to $160 million and just over $100 million guaranteed. So that makes him the highest paid defensive tackle in NFL history. And elsewhere in the NFC, Micah Parsons sounds like he's trending toward missing the first month and a half of the season. Packers open up at Minnesota, at the Jets, home against Atlanta, at the Bucs, home against the Bears, and then perhaps that week six game at home against the Dallas Cowboys is when we could see the debut of Micah Parsons. Let's get to the baseball card, Jeff, and let's start out in Pittsburgh, where we have Brandon Fott on the hill for the Diamondbacks, taking on Bubba Chandler. Pirates minus 117 favorites on the money line, total sitting at 9. How are you playing this one?
So I'm looking at this one here. I'm inching in this game here because I was very aggressively wrong about this game yesterday. There's not much to say there. I really thought it was going to be a high scoring, light up the scoreboard sort of game. Merrill Kelly had that xERA over 7. So, of course, he pitched great yesterday. He also plunked my guy Esmerlin Valdez in the hand on the left hand, left the game. It's always great to lose a prop that way. But more importantly, I have Valdez in a lot of leagues, too. He's getting imaging on that hand today, so we'll see what happens if he's going to miss more time. So kind of inching into this game, I don't really trust either pitcher a whole lot. I know Brandon Fott's pitching really well since getting called back up. 5-0 with a 2.33 ERA over 27 innings. Unfortunately, he's only struck out 14 batters over that stretch. Thought about maybe playing the under on the strikeout prop, but it's 3.5 strikeouts, so I'm not touching that either. Instead, I'll touch a little Corbin Carroll. Over 1.5 hits plus walks plus stolen bases, minus 129 over at DraftKings. Figure, you know, he could get there a lot of different ways to get there. Just needs to get on base, you know, once or twice. If he gets on base twice, then we win. If he steals a base, we win. There's a lot of different ways we can get on, get with this here. Bubba Chandler struggles a little bit more against left-handed hitters than right-handed hitters, so let's go with Corbin Carroll.
Let's hit up the Baltimore Orioles on the road in Detroit. It was an 8-5 win for the O's last night. We had 23 combined hits between the two teams. And tonight we are treated to Dean Kramer taking on Troy Melton. Now you have a total bases play you're eyeing up, Jeff.
Indeed. So Dean Kramer, as Keith Azaria was talking about earlier there, it's allowed 10 homers, and it's on over 32 innings that he's done this. So he's exploitable. He's especially exploitable by left-handed hitters. Riley Green crushes right-handed hitters, a 149 WRC plus against righties. So kind of focusing in on that matchup there. Riley Green over 1.5 total bases. I found it at even money over at Hard Rock. Jump on that, make sure it's still that price has stayed the same. But before the show, that's exactly where that was at. So that's a really nice price for that. Watching on the Tigers, I mean, it could be hug watch time for the Tigers. They've lost 3 in a row. There's rumors about Scooble like getting momentum to get traded. The Yankees might be involved. So watch for hug watch. We'll see what happens there. Despite Troy Melton pitching really well this season also, that might be something that could turn them around. We'll see what happens.
Set out to Miami, where we have Phillies Marlins, 6:40 p.m. Eastern start. Aaron Nola, Sandy Alcantara is our pitching matchup. As we mentioned earlier in the show, the streak is over. Marlins walked it off last night, so they're back on the right side of things, but have dug themselves a bit of a hole over this last couple of weeks. So we get Aaron Nola on the hill, Jeff, we historically love to attack him. Alcantara has been better this year, but still prone to some shaky starts. So a tough game to break down in Miami tonight. What do you like?
Yeah, and this one, last night was such a wild game too. Zach Wheeler, rare bad start for him. Couldn't get through the fourth. The Marlins jump out to a big lead. Of course they blow it. You know, look like they're going to extend their losing streak. It's going to be sad. They're down 7-5 in the ninth. No, they walked it off instead. Pretty big day for Griffin Conine. Conine homered earlier in the game, then had the game-winning hit. At home, he's got a 958 OPS, 990 versus right-handed pitchers as well. Aaron Nola happens to be right-handed. We like to pick on him. Let's go with Griffin Conine. Over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI, the Herbie, that Keith, as Keith was referring to there. Plus 132 over at DraftKings.
Anything for you, Jeff, in Blue Jays Nationals, where we see Shane Bieber taking on Cade Cavalli tonight? We had a rare, very low-scoring game involving the Nats last night.
Yeah, and I'm worried about this game because there's a lot of rain in the forecast, so I'm kind of hesitant to dip my toe in this pool. The Nats, in many ways, are quick to call games off, especially if they can make it up the next day. Something to watch for there. Cade Cavalli's been really good lately, really good. So the problem is the Blue Jays don't strike out a bunch. I wanted to kind of dip into the Cade Cavalli strikeout prop because I think that's maybe, he's had 17 strikeouts over those last two starts, but the rain plus the Blue Jays make it tough. But I'm finding it's only at 4.5 strikeouts plus 120 over at FanDuel. Let's put that on the card. Cade Cavalli over 4.5 strikeouts plus 120. Maybe wait to place this bet until we get a little closer to game time just because of the rain to see if there's a delayed start. If there's a delayed start, no action for me.
Braves Mets out in New York City. Chris Sale on the hill. Christian Scott on the other side of this game. Totals down to 7.5, Jeff. And that is one night after we saw the Mets put up 14 runs on 19 hits.
Yeah. Again, another one that I was kind of wrong on. The Mets really poured it on Martin Perez. I thought it was going to be an under overall because I thought, mostly because of the Zach Thornton side, but Perez single-handedly made it a bad bet there. Rain also in the forecast here to the point where over at DraftKings, they pulled that game off the board for a little bit during the show. We'll see if they put it back up. But I do like the Christian Scott strikeout prop. Now, Scott's interesting because he doesn't go deep into games, but he's got a 28.8K percentage anyhow. So if he goes five, he's probably going to get to the over 5.5 strikeouts. Getting at plus money, plus 125 over at Circa is the best price I saw. It's a risky thing because of the rain and because he could go short. But I think he'll still get to that strikeout prop regardless because he strikes out so many of the batters he faces.
We'll be watching that Mets team very closely leading up to the trade deadline on Monday. Saw a report from Jeff Passan earlier this morning, Jeff, that the Milwaukee Brewers could be interested in a Freddie Peralta reunion as he's playing on the final year of his deal. Mark me as very interested for that with some of the injuries the Brewers have suffered in that rotation. Yeah, we love Freddie Peralta, man. I think it would be a classic. Freddie Peralta will return to pitching much better for the Brewers than he has been with the Mets.
Maybe so. Maybe they know how to fix him. They also knew how to attack him, too. They thumped him just the last week. So I don't know. As someone that has Freddie Peralta in one of my most important fantasy leagues, the NFBC main event, it's been really painful this year watching him pitch. But yeah, maybe the Brewers can go back and fix him and the Mets couldn't. There's a lot of facts on the ground that suggest that the Mets are not good at developing. So, yeah, could see that.
All right, let's get one more game on the card, Jeff, before we get to our best bets of the night. Royals Twins in Minneapolis. Seth Lugo, Taj Bradley, our pitching matchup. Twins heavy favorites at home. Total sitting at 9.
Yeah, shocked to see the Twins as such a heavy favorite. Only because it's the Twins. I still, even though I know they lead the American League in runs scored, still have a hard time buying into them as a notion as a pretty decent team, but minus 184 is where I saw it earlier this morning. Never would have thought that at the beginning of the year, especially considering the perception of the Royals. I'm going to pick on both pitchers here. The Lugo and Bradley combined have allowed 32 homers, and you got horrifically bad bullpens for both teams, especially the Royals, one of the worst bullpens in baseball. I'm going to go with the over 2.5 total home runs in this game, wind slightly blowing out, minus 125 over at DraftKings, so minus price, but I think we're going to see the Rockets red glare today.
Quick update on that Guardians-Reds game. It's now 1-0 Guards, still in the top of the first with two outs. Chase Burns hitting Kyle Manzardo to walk in the first run of the game. A little bit of chaos ongoing for the Reds in this first inning. Had an error, had some lucky hits, I would say, to drive in that first run. So 1-0 Guardians, still in the top of the first. Jeff, your best bet of the night in Major League Baseball.
I'm sharing a bring with Keith Zeri here on this one. Riley Green, over 1.5 total bases, even money over at Hard Rock.
I'm going to baseball as well, Jeff. I've exhausted all my NBA options for the summer, I think. We're taking the over 8 in Phillies Marlins. 15 runs last night. Now we get Aaron Nola putting that 6.3 ERA on the line. As we mentioned, Alcantara has been fine. He's still prone to getting lit up. Give me the over in Phillies Marlins. Money moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next. Keep it locked. You're watching VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.